This week's episode of the We Are Birmingham podcast is sponsored by Lost Footballs. In 2022, they put a book out featuring pictures of lost footballs, as well as stories, weird and wonderful stories, including footballing legends, Terry Butcher, Luther Blissett, and other high profile people in the sport as well. It's coming up to Christmas. It's a great opportunity to buy the book. It's £10. And the best thing is, every penny that's raised goes to the Sporting Memories charity. Give them a follow on Twitter and Instagram at Lost Footballs. And you never know, if you send them a picture of a lost football, maybe your picture will get in the next book. Hello and welcome to the We Are Birmingham podcast. I'm Chris Golding.
I'm Matthew Elliott.
And we're of course joined by the vegan, Dave.
Evening.
How are we all?
We're good, and we're getting there eventually, aren't we?
Yeah, we've had a few technical issues, I think, due to the recording situation. On a phone in your mum's spare room.
I'm in the kitchen actually this
time. In the kitchen.
So,
okay.
Yeah, I'm in the kitchen now. So. All the children are in bed and my other half is out and my mum's not here. So yeah, I'm just having a bit more space in the kitchen. So there we go. Maybe the acoustics will be better. Who knows?
Next week we can have tin cans with string if you want.
Back to normal next week. Back to normal. Providing Storm Kieran hasn't blown my house away in Northern Ireland, I'll be or it's floated somewhere, then yeah, we'll be back to normal.
And then the week after it's going to be me recording on a phone on holiday. Just to mix things up.
Turkey, aren't you?
Yeah. Bit of summer sun, winter sun, hopefully. Right, let's have a catch up, shall we? Southampton.
Do we have weekend. To?
Well, you know, we've sort of talked about it.
Can you say all the same things we said in the previous two podcasts? Would that be the easiest thing to do? Just drop in sound bites from the previous ones.
Yeah, we could do, couldn't we? Yeah, Dave, can you do that for us? Can you just edit the old one back in? Just go over the same stuff. Blah, 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 blah. I'm going to say we saw Duke come into the lineup. I was hoping that we were going to see a return.
Forehead.
But wasn't to be.
No.
Just didn't. Didn't quite. Didn't work. Again.
For the most part.
Third lineup in three games.
And he's already said he's trying the players out as well. Like he's not. I mean, he sees him in training every day. That's the thing that's kind of confusing me a little bit. I know it's probably different in match day situations, but he's had a few weeks of the team now. Like, you must have a general idea of what's going to work. Apart from 5 or 10 minutes in that second half, Saturday again could have been another 5-6 goals potentially. Okay, got one monkey off the back. We've actually scored a goal now, which actually came technically from route one.
Route one, flick on.
Yeah. You take the positives. Now, what I will say though, actually, I don't know if either of you guys watched the interview with Pete Shuttleworth. He did say that they decided to set up in more of a low block scheme as opposed to possession based because they knew how much of the ball Southampton would have. So that was quite interesting to hear that you know they were willing to do that. Not that it worked, but the fullbacks, like both of them, really struggled on Saturday. Longello obviously looked like he was culpable for. But all had a part to play in all the goals, but of course they nearly all came from the other side of the pitch. That's where the attacks came from. So, yeah, what Could you take any positives from that apart from the fact we scored a goal? Of,
So before we get onto any positives that there might be, I'm going to just touch on what you said there about the low block. Now, for people who don't understand or have never not heard the phrase before, it's basically that you defend your final third, final defensive third, isn't it? So that's where you really switch on to your pressure, mm-hmm. so to speak. You allow the other team to have the ball. You might have seen before when we were under Gary Monk that we'll allow teams possession in their half, but when they come into our half, that's when we pressed. The low block is very much your defensive third is where you start to really pressure the opposition. For me, it just made it too easy for Southampton. The first half especially, like they were exploiting those other thirds of the pitch and with absolute ease. And then when they wanted to slice through us, they just did it. They had the players around to do it. They'd had all the ball. And it's a really, really hard way to play as well, because when you haven't got the ball, it's fucking tiring to keep running after the ball and trying to shut off passes. It just that didn't work for me at all. I just think get at them and don't allow them the time to comfort on the ball. I know that the Sky Sports presenter or interviewer questioned whether we showed them too much respect. I think that's a tactical thing, but then once you get so far down the pitch, it's just hard to then say, right, now we're going to stop you and to stop that flow. And it didn't work. I think they cut through us too easy. When we switched on in the second half, like you say, there was a 5-10 minute spell. It wouldn't even, I don't think we looked great then, but we scored that goal that gave us a bit of
it was
just like a bit of drive and the goal came out of nothing. Like we said, it was route one. It wasn't possession football at all. It wasn't particularly attacking football. It was just a long ball from Ruddy, flicked on. I think, was it deflected after it was flicked on as well?
I think Sancho basically took it off of the defender's toes, didn't he, after the flick on. So
lovely finish though.
It was fantastic. Yeah, I mean, it was the only highlight of that game from our point of view, I thought. And I mean, for me, just to go back to sort of the way we sort of sat back there, when you play a team like Southampton, the way they pass the ball around, and yes, they do play some very nice, like nice football. For me, you should be trying to try and push them into mistakes in their own half, around their own. Their own goal mouth around that sort of area of the pitch, which, you know, in the past we probably have done pretty well. I don't understand why we wouldn't try to do that again. Against these, it felt a very strange lineup. I get bringing in Ivu, as he's been called, alongside Sanderson in terms of trying to play out from the back. I get it. Did that give us a little less dominance in the box from crosses? I think it probably did from that aspect, because I think that first goal, maybe Kevin Long would have been there to head that cross away. Was it the first goal or the second goal?
I can't remember. But to counter that, he also intercepted the ball with a lovely interception and hooked it away.
So, he did, yeah. I think for the most part, he actually played all pretty well. Yeah. And I get why he was
there,
there.
There's your positive.
Yeah, well, that's kind of where I was going with it, yeah. I think if you're going to try and be a possession-based team, I think, and we spoke about this previously, that those two will probably have to play together.
Yeah.
But it will give you less dominance in the air, and I think we just have to accept that as fans as well. Yeah, but the setup up front with, I mean, well, I think we all love Duke. We respect what he's done for the club, but he was very rarely involved and didn't have much of an impact on the game. And he's not going to go up there and win anything for you. And even when, you know, if we are playing the long ball, the only thing he's going to be useful for, and it sounds awful, is a flick on, because he doesn't really hold the ball up and he's not going to bring people into play. That's not his strength. And, you know, that's fair enough. We understand that.
Yeah.
Blues, strange team selection.
Like you say, Blues fans have watched Duke under many different managers and they know where his strengths are.
Yeah.
It's not the way that we're trying to play. And
no.
There are many managers who have used him and not played in certain ways with him. But he's had an opportunity. And for me, there's still... I'd keep Duke. I'd always let Duke see his career out with Blues, because he's that professional in the changing room. If he wanted to stick around and he's happy to be a squad player, keep him. And he's the type of player that you can bring on if you're 1-0 down and you want to just start lumping balls into the box, for me. But yeah, when you've got your joint top scorer, was he Stansfield? He's now top scorer on the bench, and the guy who's been looking like he can most make something happen. I think now he's cemented that fact.
I just found it bizarre that he was dropped to the bench and wasn't even included in the side, because he's just, when he's up front, he gets himself into good positions. Okay, we've not been getting the ball forward a lot for him to take advantage of that, but he's also a nuisance.
Yeah.
And he puts himself about, and I still look at that team now and just think, I don't really understand. And there was no real explanation as to why we set up in that manner. And, you know, and that's just a third defeat. You know, we conceded one in the first game, two in the second game, three in the third game. Are we going to concede four to Ipswich? I don't know.
I hope not.
I'm concerned. I'm a little bit concerned, because Saturday against Ipswich is going to be really, really difficult. And the atmosphere needs to be banging. And I don't think it's going to be, based on what we've seen on the pitch so far.
Well, I'll tell you what, before we talk any more about it, let's have a listen to some 15-second opinions.
15-second opinion.
Hi, lads. Much better second half at Southampton. Just goes to show that Jay Stansfield has to be the first name on the team sheet. The tempo just increases whenever he's on the pitch. Thought we looked a threat. We played some really good stuff in the second half. That's given me a little bit of hope. The refereeing below standard again. That's what we've come to expect in the Championship. It's diabolical week in, week out. And I don't want to find a scapegoat or pick on one player, but Manny Longello, I think he's cost us a goal in all three games under Wayne Rooney so far. Use him as a backup winger. He's not good enough to be a Championship left back, unfortunately. Anyway, we go again on Saturday. Keep right on.
I think the Stansfield goal flattered us. It seems to have taken a little bit of heat off Rooney. That goal papered over the cracks a little bit. First half was men against boys. You know, Southampton looked like they're on a completely different planet to us in terms of the football they were playing. And the ultimate irony is the goal that we did score just came from a long ball and knocked down from Duke.
Rooney needs to stop publicly criticising his players and naming players he wants to bring in. Why? Because he can't change the players he has until January. How many games will we lose in 2 months if he doesn't encourage this squad and get them on board? He needs to prove he knows how to motivate the players he has. You can't buy motivated players.
Hi lads, just wanted to give my slant on why I think the Rooney thing is so controversial and potentially might not work. We've gone from a place of we are united as an outfit, as a fan base, as a club. That's what the new ownership have been talking about, getting the fans back on side. It's what Eustace was talking about, getting the fans back on side. Everybody together as a collective. And now we've got This is the man who wants his way of playing, and it's his way or the highway, which I think is a real clash of cultures. And I think it's reflected in the team as well. It's very much every man for himself, and I think the performances have been really disjointed, and he's got to do something about it quick, big style, because otherwise I think January becomes panic stations as it stands. Let me know your thoughts.
Okay, thank you to everyone for their 15-second opinions, all of which probably featured a few points that which we've just been talking about.
And some that we hadn't.
I'm going to go straight to the bit on the comment on the refereeing, because we hadn't mentioned we hadn't mentioned that yet, and we don't need anything else to work against us at this point in time with the luck we're having.
When
clearly
Mike Dean,
offside. When Mike Dean is gets involved, you know you've got a problem. So the offside, the goal offside, clearly offside. If you know, I don't really care about having VAR in the Championship, but that obviously would have been ruled out had that been the case. And the foul on Burke, he was just absolutely pulverized. And I don't understand. The referee was like 5 yards away looking directly at it.
Yeah, someone,
how he hasn't
someone's got to see it. Someone's got to see it. There's a linesman there, and there's the ref. Someone's got to see it.
It's absolutely crackers, man. I don't think it had made any difference in the grand scheme of things. We may have scored, but from the penalty, but I still think we could have got beat.
I messaged you when the penalty wasn't given, and I said, to be fair, and papering over the cracks was mentioned just.
Yes, you did, yeah.
And
yeah.
I messaged you when that wasn't given, and I said, to be fair, that would have probably papered over the cracks a little bit if we had have scored that, because, and you know, it might have driven us on a little bit. We saw how the Stansfield goal gave us a little bit at least a life, and maybe a penalty and scoring it would have been. But yeah, I think it would have maybe given us a false sway of how we were doing, because at that point we really didn't look like scoring. So
no.
If we had it done, you know. Also worth mentioning that there was possibly a penalty for the Sunyuch one for their play. Maybe it's just a terrible refereeing in general. It's not just against us. It was
they haven't got any better this season, have they?
No.
They've been pretty terrible for the most part. Yeah, it's been pretty disappointing. I heard the chap that mentioned about Longello, understand his frustrations with that one there. We probably need to remember that actually Longello had been playing left back since Buchanan's been out, and he's been playing pretty well up until these last three games. We know he's not much of a defender. Yep. We know that. The difference is I don't think he really understands what he's doing at the moment. And you know, when you're playing against people like, you're up against players like Kyle Walker-Peters and stuff like that, you are gonna struggle, I think. But you know, the difference is he doesn't, I don't think those fullbacks truly know what they need to be doing at this point in time. And previously they were very, very well drilled. Understand why Longello's being called out, but you know, I don't think it's all down to him.
Mind you, having said that about them not looking great at the moment, bear in mind that in the previous game, the whole game, you said Dramay had his best game for you and was man of the match. So it's it's for me, Longello isn't a left back anyway. He, like, the defensive side of his game for a long time has been questionable.
Mm.
For me,
he's better.
Go on.
He's probably better in a wing back role if you've got someone that can actually cover behind him.
Yeah. Or as the previous management were doing, where they were sacrificing width down one side and allowing defensive stability by shifting the back three across.
Yeah. And it helps when you've got someone in front of you as well that is giving you a bit of support. And the fullbacks look like they don't get any support in this and in these formations at all. It looks like it's kind of, they're almost fighting that battle on their own, and they've got to be up and down that pitch as much as possible. And at the moment, it's not working. And I wonder in the next game with, and we sort of touched on this last week when we said about, is there a place for Laird and Drame in this team together? And I mentioned about playing them both down one side. I wonder whether we might see one of them playing left back at the weekend, because they have both played left back previously. So it'd be interesting to see if that's if that happens this weekend.
Yeah, I think if they're both fit, there's a potential there, isn't there? It just looks shaky at the back. I mean, that's probably an understatement, to be fair.
What do you think on the terms of their comments from Rooney player criticism, calling players out, players not being good enough, not understanding what they're doing?
It's a stark contrast to what they're used to, or what they had been used to previously, because they were never previously criticised at all. Now, I know that Rooney has played at the absolute top level in club football, in world football. And interestingly, if anyone's watched the David Beckham documentary recently, Glenn Hoddle at the World Cup completely threw Beckham under the bus.
Yes.
Look at how it affected him as a player. He had the quality and the talent to overcome that and to say, right, you're going to do that, I'm going to fucking work so much harder and overcome it. Da, da, da. These players aren't all built like that.
No.
They're not all Scott Hogans that are relying on confidence to give you any performance at all. But there's a lot of them I'd say probably most of the squad will be built in a way that they need encouragement and they need confidence given to them by the manager. And slating them week after week isn't going to help things. I think it's a fair point, and you're gonna lose the dressing room quicker than you're gonna gain it by doing that.
Yeah,
for me,
I'm not buying the fitness comments either, because I've always thought when I've watched us this season that I've always thought we did look quite a fit team, and we always seem to be still pushing quite hard in the final minutes of each game. Now,
early on in the season, were we not one of the teams that was scoring late goals?
Yeah.
And winning games. Yeah.
That's not, maybe we're not fit enough for the style that Wayne Rooney wants to play, and that may be fair enough, but you know, I wouldn't say we were, I almost feel like it's just a bit of a cop out in terms of, you know, when he's coming up with excuses. I would like to see him change the way he talks about the players. Sorry, I've got a cat in here that's pissing around.
Haven't you got about 27 cats in there or something?
And my mum has a lot of cats, yes, and it is around, I think it's 29 altogether, but there's only one in this room right now, and for a bit of context, because there was a sound that my mum is a crazy cat lady, and to a certain extent she kind of is. She rescues feral cats, and she's got lots of pens in her back garden, and she's got some cages in her house.
What
and stuff
pens
like that.
Got to do with cats? Is she a writer as well?
Cat pens.
Oh, okay.
Yes, not that they write with, that they actually stay in. And honestly, you go in, you look in these cat pens. I've seen hotels in worse conditions. He's got central heating, mood lighting, all sorts.
Just so we know, which cat is joining us on the podcast this week?
Actually, funny enough, the cat that's joining us on the podcast is Ambrose, who was actually one of my cats. I had two, Ambrose and Rollins came with me to Northern Ireland. Ambrose stayed here because He doesn't like the children and he doesn't like the dog. So my mum kept him here.
Named after Darren or Dean?
No, actually. So Ambrose and Rollins, yeah, they were named after the wrestlers. They were named after wrestlers at a time when I actually used to quite enjoy that. That was quite some time ago now. So,
are you still involved in the naming of the cats?
Not my mum's, no. She's, their last lot have been named after characters from Indiana Jones. So that's there we go. I've completely forgot what we were talking about now. It was to do with Wayne Rooney, wasn't it? Criticising plays. So yeah, I don't like it, but it's obviously his management style. If he's saying that the players aren't good enough and they've got to adapt quicker and they're not fit enough, well, obviously some of that is down to him and his coaching methods and the training and that he puts in place, that him and his staff put in place. So he's got to take shoulder some of the blame there. And at the moment, it doesn't really feel like he's doing that. It seems to be other people's fault and not his own. Maybe I'm being pretty harsh with that, but that's how I feel.
No, I think that you're pretty fair in saying that, and I think there's a large percentage of the fan base that'll agree with you. A large percentage also won't. I think you're right in what you're saying about it's basically the old saying of, and I don't want to be too negative too early on, but the old saying of a bad workman blames his tools. It's your tools that you've got available to you at the moment. Are they bad tools? Had they been doing a decent job at the start of the season, everyone was saying it's the best transfer window that we've had in years. All of a sudden the tools are bad. I don't agree. I think that there's a decent squad there. It's getting stronger all the time. Players that are coming back from injury. I just think I don't want to be negative about it. I want to look forward and say, hopefully it works out. At the moment, not making the most out of the tools that you've got available.
Yeah, I mean, we've touched on it a few times. We know the level that these players can perform to, and we've seen them in a system that can work for them. And again, already spoken about evolving things slowly, and they just need clear instructions that they're going to understand, or they need better coaching, and it's or both. For me, Rooney's just got to take some of this blame and say it's up to him to make this team a better outfit and push us forward. And at the moment, it doesn't feel like he's willing to do that.
Now, one of the 15-second opinions mentioned about togetherness, as the squad being together, the club being together, the fans being together, and how different it looks at the moment.
It the clash of cultures.
Yeah. And
that's a great comment.
Yes, it really is. And it actually coincides, like, we didn't know that this was coming out today, but the Blues have put out a series of fan initiatives, sort of ties in with this. So first, let's talk about the difference in the club from where we were. It's been mentioned that feel good factor has sort of disintegrated, pretty much.
It has, and there's just people at the atmosphere has got a little bit toxic as well. Or actually, when the whole Max Coe thing was going on, that's what it feels like a little bit at the moment.
People
when
taking sides.
Yeah, there's a lot of side taking. The thing is, there's a lot of it. There's so much aggressiveness from, I think more so from, I'm trying to think how to put this. Like, there are people that are still emotionally upset that people have got rid of the previous manager and they've replaced it with Rooney. And it's not even about Rooney being installed. It's just about the whole process to get there, of how they got into putting him in place, etc., and being upset with the board and the ownership and stuff like that. And I get that, right? I do get it. And then there's a lot of people that are sort of, they seem to be sort of backing Rooney or being pro Rooney, which again, brilliant. That's what we want to see. But in every opportunity to back Rooney, they want to slag off other fans without being directly. It's kind of just blanket slagging off other fans and even the players. It's like slagging some of the players off, saying, getting on that, getting a bit behind what Rooney was saying, actually, about saying the players aren't trying, they're not good enough, etc. And, you know, they were fine a few weeks back. And it's just, there seems to be quite a big divide between the fans and, as you say, side taking. And that togetherness feels like it's almost completely disintegrated.
I don't know how you repair it. That's the worry for me, is that results can improve things, but can they repair it completely? There were some fans, and it was good to see, to be fair, that there were some fans that were singing Rooney's name and trying to get behind him after the game. But it's a bit of a front in a way, I think, because that's not like there's vocal people on both sides that are still arguing. And I saw someone putting up posts of the previous manager wouldn't have won. Let's have a look at his previous results before he was sacked, or before the two games that he won before he was sacked. And it's like, that's gone. Let it go.
It doesn't help. It doesn't help anyone. Same with the comments around him, like, oh, he wouldn't have won these games either. We don't know that. You don't know that. And there's no point even thinking about it now. As you say, it's fantasy, isn't it?
What the results would have been, it's fantasy, because that's never going to happen. You're not going to have that opportunity. So move on. Everyone move on.
And in the interest of fantasy, the only way that we're going to get through this is actually if the team starts picking up points again and starts winning.
Yeah, absolutely.
And, you know, and that will settle things down. Because at the moment, people are still way too emotional just to trust the process. You know, the club, the owners will get it right now, whether that's with Rooney or not. I've got full trust in certainly Knighthead, Wagner. My feelings on Gary Cook, I'm not 100% sure that I'm sure he'll do a lot of good things for the club, but I'm not convinced he always has the club's best interest at heart, but that's my personal opinion. But the owners will get this right at some point, and they're in it for the long haul. Right? They're going to turn this club around, and the future is going to be very, very exciting. But everybody at the moment is living in the present, and I think that's what I think some people aren't understanding. You're allowed to be upset around what's happened. You're allowed to be disappointed with results. You should be allowed to voice your opinion and kick off, as long as you're not being like, what's the word? Disrespectful, rude, whatever. Like, you know, you can voice your opinion about the situation, and people are going to be emotional, upset about what's happening. I'm annoyed. I'm really annoyed about where things have gone. But we just have to trust and hope that things will get better, and, you know, they will do. And this might be some short-term pain, but hopefully it will be for long-term gain.
Say I that, just hope.
Yeah, I'm struggling when I'm sober with a Robinson's fruit shoot. So which is now empty. I was just finishing off one of my daughter's drinks, actually. I don't normally drink fruit shoots, just for anyone is. Just in case you're wondering, like, weirdo.
This is shattering the craft beer myth, Matthew.
Yes, I've got a bottle of strawberry cheesecake Fanta here, and a fruit and a children's fruit shoot, and they're just the only drinks within my reach.
You built up such an image with your aunt his apple crumble beer. shut it down.
Oh, on that note, I had a Christmas pudding and custard milk stout at the weekend, watching American football on Sunday night, and it was awesome.
You know, if If you'd only given us the alcohol content of the fruit shoot, you could have got away with all that.
It was at zero, Dave. In answer to your question...
They're making 0% fruit shoots now?
They are, yes, yeah. I would like to get the kids something stronger, but maybe at Christmas. In answer to your question about what do we do to make things better, I don't think it's on us to make things better. I mean, fans will calm down and unite slowly again at some point. I think it's quite difficult for over time. Time is a great healer, I guess. And, you know, fans will start to calm down, but we need to start seeing something happening on the pitch. And as soon as that starts happening, we start seeing some more positive football, an idea of what they want to do, and, you know, where we can actually see the vision, and then that translate into football results. And I hope that happens sooner rather than later, because things could get a lot worse with the toxicity within the fan base before they get better.
The one concerning thing for me is that, and we have seen it before, not with managers, but under owners, that a win can mask everything for a game or for a couple of games, but then the minute that there's a defeat, it just returns.
Yep.
Doubled. So at the moment, there's this run of defeats. If that bad blood builds up so much so that when there is a win, the feel good is there, but it's momentarily there. I think that United front needs to build up somehow without...
That is something, isn't it? Even if it's just for one weekend or 1 week before we get beat again, a win does start to bring hope, positivity and togetherness. It does start to draw people closer again.
My point is a little bit though that one win, then let's be honest, look at the run of games. It's a very difficult run that we're in at the moment. People have said, even the Sheffield Wednesday game that's coming up, it'll be just Blues' luck that we go and give them their first win of the season. Da, da, da.
Well, they got their first win, didn't they? They beat Rotherham. At least that's out the way now.
But now
they might be on a good run.
When was that?
Now they might be on a good run. Sunday. Maybe.
We're going to play. Okay, so yeah. Right, I'd miss that completely. So. Yeah, we're going to play them on the back of, what, 3 wins in a row or something? So that'll be some game as well then.
Just after their owner has had asking 2,000 fans to give him £100 each so they can pay their tax bill or something fucking daft like that.
Yeah.
I'm like, what is going on? Like, can you imagine if BSH asked us to give them £100 each or something?
Wouldn't it? Playing you up again.
Could you just imagine?
So, togetherness.
Yes.
Blues Open House. A quarterly open evening for up to 100 fans who are committed to Blues. So, instead of these little team meetings where a selected few that get to go all the time and have this opening that, like, come in for a meal, tea and biscuits and whatever.
Custard creams and saying yes.
Yep, basically. Yep, yep.
And
yep,
nodding.
Yep, yep.
Yeah.
They're making an by invitation only, and the invite list can change each quarter. Now.
Which is what it should do.
It should do. It should.
Yeah.
But my feelings on it are, you've got a list of season ticket holders. Invite those people. Those people are the ones that commit to Blues every season. Do a raffle out of that. Pick names out. Would you like to come? No, I wouldn't. Okay, no worries. We'll ask someone else. Would you like to come? Yes. That's the fairest way of picking it, in my opinion.
Do you think there's an argument for... I get that, right, and I understand that. There'll be a lot of people that probably don't want to or can't make those.
Which is completely fair.
Should... I understand you're someone with a season ticket holder. You two are both season ticket holders. I'm currently not. Obviously don't live in the country, so it's a little bit more difficult for me, but I do get there when I can. Is there more right for a season ticket holder to attend these things than, you know, longer term fans or fans that have got still have a vested interest in the club and are quite vocal on certain platforms? I don't know where I'm going with this, but
maybe Matthew, then,
for non-season ticket holders to
non-season ticket podcasters.
I'm not saying podcasters at all. I'm not referring to myself.
Non-season ticket holding podcasters that live in Northern Ireland.
I'm not saying that at all. But is there not an argument for maybe like
a proportion? Basically, people? Is what you're saying. So you know, maybe not all of them coming from season ticket holders. You're saying that having representation outside of season ticket holders.
You have just said that much. That's what I should have said in the first place, because they mentioned something about having a diversity. And obviously, when you think of the diversity, you think of like multicultural and stuff like that, and different demographics of different ages, etc. So the older, you want some younger fans in there. I've seen some people saying that we need younger fans to be attending because they're the future of the club. Well, actually, you need to have quite a much broader demographic than that, I think.
Yeah.
And not necessarily all people that are based in and around the city either. And again, I'm not saying that you should bring people over from Northern Ireland. I probably don't know if I can go to those things anyway. I'd have to work with...
Basically, what you're saying
work
is
schedules.
You will go if they'll pay you to go over.
If they ask someone from WAB to go, you'll just go, Chris, because you're around the corner. So it's much easier for you, even though you're in Turkey for the next one.
Yeah, I'm not sure.
But what I'm saying is, I think there needs to be quite a broad demographic of people that they choose for this, because you need to have the best interests of everybody, because you've also got to encourage people that aren't currently season ticket holders or don't go a lot to try and get involved with the club more as well, if that makes sense. So yeah, where they get this list from or how they contact these people, be interesting to see what their process is.
I do agree. My point about season ticket holders was that you've got a raw list of people.
Oh yeah, it's completely valid. Like, I completely get that.
Open it up to a big range of people. So that range can be bigger. Like you're saying, yeah, more than that. Yeah, which is absolutely fine, but don't limit it to 100 people. And it's the same 100 people that are always going, oh yeah, yes, we'll come and nod our heads and drink some tea. Da, 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 da. Yeah.
Can we limit it though to not including anyone that's ever sat behind me and Matthew?
No. And
let's see if I get invited. That those people still be sitting fucking behind me. I tell you that now for free.
I think we should.
I know exactly the type of people it'll be.
Sitting behind you in the Blues open house.
Yes, it'll still happen there. I guarantee. I'd put money on it. There'd be an absolute helmet sitting behind me that just still just be coming out with the most ridiculous comments.
Ultimately. It looks like a great idea. But it needs to be done right. It needs to be open for more people than your selected few.
And it's interesting that what do you think about them bringing the official supporters club back? And what do you think it means for all the other smaller supporters clubs?
That's the next stage of what they've said, or that's the third stage, actually. You've jumped ahead. So the official supporters club, which sort of insinuates the end of other official supporters clubs, and it's one united group. No, we're not. Our channel isn't an official. But so I had a few people saying, like, is this the end of WAB? Like, message me when this came out. I was like, no, well, no, because we're not an official supporters club anyway. So we're like our own thing. I don't know. There's not enough there to say whether it's going to unite these groups into different legs, or and that they just right. You can't be official anymore. You can't be official anymore in that name, or whether they become part of the official supporters club, and they keep their own integrity. I don't know what it means, and there's not enough, but it's just sort of saying we've got this collective club to I don't know enough about it.
There's an element, I mean, again, touching on taking that into account, but we don't know enough about it. Does it feel to you at all that the club might be looking for an element of control over a lot of these fan groups?
I don't know. I think, honestly, I think it's from a good place. I think it's been put together with good intentions. Whether the people who run the supporters clubs at the moment will see it as good intentions or as a good thing, I'm not sure. I think that what it might do is end up creating a lot of unofficial supporters clubs ultimately.
I think I probably agree. It'd be interesting to see how the first one plays out in a few weeks' time, and also who's invited and how it's fed back to everybody as well.
Have you had a chance to read this yet? Because you know that there's like three different things, don't you?
I've read it and then sent it to the group and to you guys. Yeah. So
the supporters club thing is launching from January next year.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know what the open house thing. That's November, isn't it? Cause, yeah, because I'm away.
In a few weeks' time. Yeah. I think I come over a couple of days after that, actually.
Or maybe Gary Cook will pay for your flight and get you over earlier.
I've already coming over on a ferry a few days after.
Yeah, ferry.
I'm afraid. Yes. Yeah. Have to.
Then the other thing was the Blues Matters official fan engagement program that's launching January next year. There's not an awful lot of detail on it. It's basically saying it's something different. It's the official constructive communication channel between the club and fans. Quarterly meetings again with a record of attendees' agendas. Da 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 da. I'm guessing that will be with representatives. So not everyone that's part of it will be invited. It will be. This is different to the 100 people in the mentioned in the first thing. I'm going to wait and reserve judgment. I mean, any line of communication with the club is going to be good, but I'm going to reserve judgment on my opinion on what it is until we actually see some more information on what it is. But it's good to see that they are trying to make these connections with fans.
And as we've said previously, before Knighthead, we've longed for this sort of thing to be put into place, and as long as it's done properly and correctly, you know, it should be a really, really good thing for us going forward.
Yeah. Well, we know that the previous owners had put things into place and not actually done anything with them. There were groups and whatever else. Like you say, it has to be done right. It has to be done right. If you enjoy our podcast, please don't forget to like, share and comment on social media.
And if the podcast platform allows it, please rate and review us.
Cheers, guys.
Okay, gents, moving on to the weekend. Rooney's fourth game in charge. Ipswich, what do we think?
It's a tough one.
Very.
Definitely a tough one. I mean, they're on the back of four wins in a row, is it? And
We're on the back of 3 defeats in a row.
Yeah, they're getting beat tonight, but they've also changed every single player from the weekend. So you can see where their priorities currently lie. And they're second in...
Are you going to blame them when they're second in the league?
Second in the league and comfortably second in the league, aren't they, as well?
Yeah. It's
playing very good football.
Can I just say, they're not overachieving. They play some good stuff. They're well organised. They were predicted to do very well this season. Now, other teams might be underachieving because of starts of the season and results that they haven't picked up. Southampton didn't start the season very well. Leeds didn't start the season very well. Ipswich have, and they've played some good stuff. They're not overachieving. They're a good side.
They've won 11 out of 13 games. They've only lost one, and they've drawn one. It's very hard for that to be to flatter them, you know. And I think, as you say, when we mentioned it a few at the beginning of the season, I think before the season even started, that Ipswich were going to be one of those teams, I think, would finish in the top half. You looked at we look at Preston, who we played earlier in the season, and there's a few people have said that they were sort of overachieving up there. And ever since played them, they've just dropped down the league.
I said it, and I said that we would finish above Preston. But I'm just going to put a disclaimer on that was before we changed managers.
Yeah, there's still only 4 points between us. Well, they're only five points ahead. But say Ipswich are 5 points behind Leicester. I think they've got a game in hand as well. And they are 9 points clear of Leeds, who are in third.
Yep.
Very, very good side, playing very good football. And yeah, let's make no bones about it. As Steve Bruce used to say, it's going to be a very, very, very tough game. A very tough game. And yeah, what that means in terms of how we set up, I don't know. Certainly, I think we should probably forget about no fear football for a while, because it feels more like all the fear and no idea at the moment. I just hope that he can try and get a settled team out there that are going to be as close to carrying out what he wants them to do as possible. What that means in terms of the lineup, I don't know. I think I'd probably be inclined to bring Ethan Laird into the side and figure out which one of him and Dramay is going to play at left back this weekend.
Yeah, I'd be
George Hall should be back now, I think, potentially as well. He's been back training, so he could be available for selection forward as well.
I'd definitely be with you on the Ethan Laird coming into the side. I just think it's like, again, because we've had three different selections, three different systems, we've got no idea what we're going to see. The good news is they'll have had a week.
Wayne Rooney's bingo machine.
They'll have had a week to go away and work on it. Again, a full week, not a game in the week where they've had to travel. We've had a week work on it.
That could make a difference. Possibly.
I hope it does.
I'm clutching at straws.
Maybe. But there's we don't know an awful lot about what we're going to look like. So it's one of them for us. I still say I'd like to see us go back a little bit to how we were playing earlier in the season and evolve from there. That would be my starting point for Saturday. Other than that, I don't know. Make some random predictions and just wait and see.
Well, one thing I will say about Ipswich is they look like they will score goals, but they will also concede. So again, I can see us potentially scoring a goal, maybe even two. But the way the defence has played and what little protection they seem to be getting from the midfield, which wasn't the case a month ago. I can just see us conceding again, and they seem to be a team that can score at will. And as I said, they've put out a side tonight that's completely changed, so they're going to have a fresh team to go into the weekend with. I can't see anything other than another defeat, unfortunately. I desperately hope I'm wrong, because this would be such a good, it'd be a fantastic result if we could get anything against it, so it's even a draw. But I'm going to say another defeat. 3-1.
They're joint top scorers in the league, you know, with Leicester.
Yep, they've scored a lot of goals, but they've also conceded quite a few as well.
Scored tonight now as well, 3-1.
Oh, so it's 3-1. Yeah. That's what I'm going for, yeah, to Ipswich, unfortunately, though. I hope I'm wrong.
All of that taken on board, but also with the hope that we shape up how we have done before. And I know it's...
Stansfield back in the side.
1-1.
Yes. Okay, interesting. 1-1.
So not a win, but I think... Yeah, 1-1. I don't know who scores first, because I think we have to score first, because if we don't, I'm not sure if it just falls apart a little bit.
This is a problem, isn't it, as well? The heads feel like they maybe drop when we concede, or it's just like... it's not a lack of effort, and it's not lack of trying.
Belief.
Which it is belief. Just on that point, so many people this weekend, so many people I tend to think of sound mind. The amount of people that were slagging off players for not trying, again, absolute nonsense. Of course the players are trying. I don't buy into that at all. Anyway, yeah, it's the belief. If we go 1-0 down, it inevitably feels like we're going to... It's like previous managers all over again. Whereas the last manager, if we went 1-0 down, you kind of thought we might be able to at least claw back. And I know we only ever won once when we've gone behind in the last like 18 months or something, but you felt like we might be able to get a draw out of it. Or at the moment, as soon as you concede one, it genuinely just feels like the game's over. Like, I just, on 9 minutes at the weekend, I was just like, should I just turn this off and take the kids to the park? Because it just felt inevitable, didn't it?
It did. And they were a good side, but Ipswich are
a very good side.
So we're going to be in the same situation.
Ipswich were a better side.
So I'm going to go 1-1. You're going 3-1. Vegan?
I think I'm also going to go 1-1. I think you both made good points about sort of just the mentality around goals going in. I think if we can get a goal first, who knows? But, you know, I think head is saying, you know, hoping for something like 1-1 score draw. Maybe Stanfield starting, maybe Stanfield scoring.
Stanfield has to start.
Has to start, yep. Does have to start. Right. Well, enjoy the game. And until next week, we'll be back to see whether our predictions are right. And until next time, keep right on.
Keep right on.
Keep right on.